This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Mike Schoep and the Bulldog.
At forward, number five, he still lives with his mother, Carlos Boozer. At forward, number nine, he collects rare birds and has a pet dolphin named Chachi. Luol Deng. At center, number 13, he's a Scorpio and a horrible dancer.
Mike Schoep.
He doesn't speak a lick of English, but we still love him. Gustavo Io. From Connecticut, where he majored in econ, but he minored in love.
The Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay, how do I get out of saying the thing I think I should say first? Here, all right, I got something.
You make me say it. I guess I really don't know exactly what you're going to say.
What I could do to offset the emotion drawn from what I should say first is hold up the book I just went down to the mailroom and pick out of my mailbox, and that is The Adventures of the Amazing Kreskin. I've been gone that long. This book has been sitting in my mailbox, and I assume one in yours, probably for a while. That's just, you open it and it's just instant joy.
Yeah. Instant joy. How much mail is a year's worth of mail? Because that's how much mail I've got there. One of these days I'm going to have to come get it. Yeah. One of these days I'm probably going to go back to work.
Bulldog anyway. Has so much mail, in his mailbox sits The Adventures of the Amazing Blank. Not now. That would be fun too. But probably not now. Yeah. Okay.
Well, hi. It's nice to hear your voice. It's nice to have you back. I missed you.
Did it turn 100? Was it 100 on those hot days you guys
had? It was 80.
Too close.
It was 80, and Joe was nervous. Joe was nervous. It was 80 on April 9th, I think.
I think it got up to 83 one of the other days, too. I don't remember. Early April in the 80s, that's not something that I wanted to be.
Sort of a bad sign for you.
Yeah, not good. Yeah.
But not. It didn't get close enough where you actually looked and thought, maybe today.
No.
Okay.
Not quite there.
Not even in Florida. 90. I had 90 a couple times. That 90's awful.
Oh, 90's tough.
Oh,
a Florida 90's tough.
It's a tough 90. That is a tough 90. All right, here's the question. Has there ever been a fun Sabres trade deadline day? Has there ever been a fun one?
No.
Has there ever been a deadline day that wasn't depressing for one reason or another?
No.
Joe can think of one.
Okay, Joe, why don't you, before I get going, where's the one?
It didn't work out, but on the day it happened, I felt good about the Cody Hodson-Zach Cassian trade, and it was something we were not expecting. So there was a little bit of shock, and we could sell it, like, we needed the center, here's a center. So that one, maybe.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, that seemed like a good idea.
Because it wasn't getting rid of money or getting rid of someone good on purpose.
It was a hockey trade, right?
Or
it was
getting someone not that good that you wanted to have be better. Almost every one of these falls into one of those categories. Or even if nothing happens, you're like, remember this happened? It's just like you sort of regurgitate the other ones.
Yeah, it struck me on Friday. I think, Joe, we talked about this some on Friday, how it just dawned on me as we were talking about what might happen this weekend and today that it's 10 years. I think while you were away, the anniversary of that Flyers game where they clinched that playoff spot happened. And so that, 10 years ago today. That's the last time the Sabres were in the playoffs. It's also the last time they really bought someone at the deadline. It was Brad Boies that year that they bought. And every year since then, and this Hodson thing is sort it's different. It's not really a trade deadline deal. It happened to take place on deadline day. Every other year since then has been just dumping stuff because they've been bad or worse than bad. So, like, trade deadline has been really depressing for at least that long. And even when they were good, we were sitting in there together the year they traded for
Zubras.
Yeah, right. And, like, that
I'll never forget the moment. I'll never forget
that
it.
That was not what we wanted, you know. No. Like that was.
You had the best team in the league, Joe.
Yeah.
They had the best team in the league, and Bulldog had a good source. So I'm just sitting here exactly where I'm sitting right now. This is 14 years ago at the deadline. I'm sitting exactly in the same position I was sitting at that moment, and Bulldog gets the call and he leaves the room. He would leave the room for this guy. I didn't get – there was no speaker with Mike here. He would leave the room for this guy, right? You know, right? There's an interesting line there. I could get a call from somebody. Maybe I just put it on speaker, and, like, we're all listening. Not right now.
Right.
But, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, whatever time, leaves the room. I think maybe our boss was in here, too, as we're kind of all just talking about what might happen in the next 2 hours.
I think we were on early. Or did we go okay, on because that trade happened?
No, like, I'm sure we – that's right.
Yeah, because the instigators didn't exist. And so on deadline day, we would start much earlier than normal so that we would have some run-up to it. Like maybe only an hour or two earlier, but we started earlier. And that was, I think we were on, which is, I probably would have left the room anyway, but, you know, I think we were on the air and I had to leave the room because I wanted to take the call because I knew it was going to be someone telling me exactly what had, you know, what was going to transpire.
So but when you came back in, we were not on the air. We were in break maybe, but
right.
We were not on the air when you came back in the room.
That's
so
right.
I'm sitting here, maybe Andy's in here, we're just sitting here waiting to find out what's going on. And Bulldog comes in, big guy. Like, he almost fills up the whole door frame. The door opens. Bulldog steps in the room. He says, "Welp, everybody, get ready for Dinah Zubris." And I'm just like, okay. And I just go to the computer. I'm sure I did this. I just slide over to the left where I have my little computer, and I just started searching Dinah Zubris stuff.
Yeah.
You know, how can we put a happy face on this one?
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, it wasn't the worst player.
No.
But he didn't score ever.
No. No.
So even the good ones, Hodgson,
right.
Even the ones where you weren't miserable about what happened with the Sabres on deadline day, you ended up being kind of miserable about it.
Yeah, sometimes it took a few months or longer, like, you know, but yeah, that's right.
Trades to help them win didn't help them win. Trades to help them rebuild have not all been very successful at helping them rebuild. Ryan Miller gets traded. There's a lot of names in that trade. Draft picks and, ooh, conditions. We're going to get to conditions, which
yeah,
are
right.
Conspicuously completely missing from this Taylor Hall trade for reasons I don't understand. But conditions and picks and names, and like, okay, like O'Reilly was not a deadline trade, but O'Reilly was kind of like that. Ooh, let's see. Look at all the stuff. Look at all the stuff under the tree.
Right.
And then time goes by and you're like, yeah, none of this really helps. Evander Kane,
right.
This isn't helping.
It just stockpiles.
There were more conditions there. There were conditions.
Oh, with Murray, you never didn't get conditions. You had lots of conditions. That's what made him fun. One thing that made him fun. So Brian Campbell is traded. That's sad. Another top player off our best teams gone. But this Bernier walks in, 2 goals, a fight. All right, yeah. This is great. Then that's the end of that.
Right.
That's just like the only game he ever had.
He doesn't
that
even make
that.
It through the summer.
No,
on the Sabres.
He's traded, right, for Reve. Like, just when is it? I bet it was cool when they got Gilmore.
Yes, that was a really cool day because they made, if I remember correctly, the Gratton trade was like Holzinger and Primo, I think, going out and Chris Gratton coming in from Tampa. That was like overnight. Like I remember I was working mornings then, getting to work and like having that trade. And then the Gilmore thing started to percolate before the morning show was over. Like, so it happened like on the heels of a trade that had happened overnight. And yeah, that was a really cool day.
Dumont and Gilmore
yeah.
for Groshek.
Yeah.
Yeah. That had to be just like, that's a good day. That is all right. there's stuff under the tree, but it doesn't even fit. It's too cool. It's like a motorcycle. Like, you can't put it. It's the present you can't fit under the tree. So it's
you're one of those pretentious car commercials where you got to go outside and there's a bow on a $800,000 car.
You don't even get the car you want because your wife went and picked that one first. She beat you to it.
Yeah.
You wanted the red one. So yes, that had to be. That's 21 years ago.
Yeah.
And I just don't feel like we've ever had a fun day on deadline day or even anything close to it ever since. Little trades that don't matter just to make it look good. The year Darcy went and did a fans conference call at the deadline. Was that deadline day? Like,
yes,
that didn't
was.
Work.
No, that might have been free agency day.
Oh, yeah,
That might have been July 1st at noon he was doing
sort of. Thank you.
I don't think there was Facebook Live then, but yeah, there's something he did.
Deadline day and July 1st are a lot alike.
Mm-hmm.
You can remember a couple, like Erhoff, you can remember a couple that you might have liked, but a lot of it is just like, oh no, we're not in the league. Yeah. We're really not in the league. We're just here to sort of help the other teams. We're here to help the Bruins.
Yeah.
Today.
Right. Yeah.
Go Boston.
Right.
But you can't even say go Boston.
Right.
Because there's no element in here where I can be like better off if Boston wins.
Right.
Which does that make any – is that defensible at all to you? Because it is not to me. And I am careful – it might not sound like it in the balance, but I think I am careful to recognize what it is that I don't know. There's a lot that you don't know about how deals get made, what do people know about players that we may never know about players. There's a lot that you don't know. I do not know how the Sabres did not get some detail in this trade where they would benefit more if Hall does well, if Boston does well, if both of those things happen. Like, how was that not thought of? Because that always happens in these trades.
Yeah. I don't know. It very well could have, you know, might have been thought of. You know, we'll see how this ends up getting framed. I'm eager to hear what Kevin Adams is, how much detail he'll get into. I'm not optimistic it'll be a lot. But he's going to talk, and we're carrying that coming up in, what is that, about 15, 20 minutes away now. But Hall holding the hammer of the no trade clause and thus being able to say, no, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. There's where I want to go. Maybe is all you need to know. Like, it's possible the Bruins went, look, we know your guy is not accepting a trade to Vegas or to, you know, whatever, pick Florida. They could know that he wants to come there. Maybe his agent even told him. I don't know. But if that's the sort of pressure you're operating under, he might just have to take whatever you can get, and that's what it looks like happened. It looks like they just took whatever they could get from a team that was actually willing to trade with you and that Taylor Hall was willing to go to. So, you know, that's his right. I mean, you can be mad at him if he nixed better deals for the Sabres' sake, but, you know, they gave him a no movement clause. He waived it. They got something, but yeah, it's not. I was prepared to be disappointed. I was saying it all week while you were away.
Because it's deadline day and it's the Sabres.
Well, it's the deadline day and it's the Sabres. And then you mix in everything else that this year is. The financial situation within the whole league. How much teams would be valuing draft picks. I think because of the financial situation in the league. Like, there was a lot piled up. So I even said, I'm like bracing for this to be bad. And we're probably all going to take turns teeing off on Kevin Adams because he's new at this. And he just got worked in a trade. And somehow still, I managed to be disappointed when I saw the trade. Like, I was bracing for it to be bad, and then I was maybe because, like, first-round picks got moved prior to this, right? Toronto sent one away, and Florida, I think, no, it wasn't Florida. Whoever got Savard. Who got Savard, the defenseman from Columbus?
Tampa.
Tampa, thank you. So maybe these things are in play, and maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised. But no, it's a middling, healthy scratch winger from the Bruins. You know, they're too good to have him in their lineup. He'll come here and probably play 20 minutes a night, and a second round pick, and no conditions, no nothing. just and you know, Curtis Lazar, like whatever, replaceable easily, but I had to sweeten the deal. Like what? I'm frustrated. I'm sure a lot of people are, but it stands out to me that I was bracing for disappointment and still achieved disappointment.
Is there a point at which you just don't make the deal because just on principle? Like if Hall, I want to think. I mean, this is a guy who's been in the league a long time. I want to think that he would have said yes to more than one idea, more than one destination. I want to think Hall. I don't know if I'm right. I'm telling you right up front. I don't know if I'm right. But I want to think like a pro is not going to say to a team, I only want to go to this one team. So let's say it's two. And the only possibilities are the teams that want the player in the first place. Like Hall can't just pick his spot.
Right.
So, I mean, he has two goals, right?
Yeah.
So like you can't just pick his spot, but he's good enough to get some attention. If there's more than one team interested in him, I'm the GM, I'm limited, but I go about this and it's not easy for me. It was not going to be easy for me for obvious reasons, but I am just fixated on the fact that the Sabres don't have a thing here that says if Boston wins the Stanley Cup, this is like the loftiest of these conditions. Some of them have like if the guy scores three goals or something. Right. Like the loftiest. If Boston wins the Stanley Cup, it goes to a first. Like how I would think that sometimes the team buying the player mentions that. Like we'll do this too. We'll put a condition on it. So if this goes so well for us, we'll make this better for you. I mean, Joe and I know to do this in fantasy. Like how did that not, was it such a stranglehold? This thing with Taylor Hall, that there was no way for the Sabres to get anything like that written in. Is that what I'm supposed to think?
I mean, you think what you want. It's possible that Kevin Adams was terrible at making this deal and that he had two or more options and still ended up here. I think, and I guess I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt here. And I don't know that he's really earned it, but the return to me is so insignificant to me for a player of Hall's stature. I mean, this Janmark from Chicago got a second round pick. And you know, is there an MVP on his resume? Like, I know, you know, it's a long time ago now. But I think the return is so underwhelming that I just want to think that rather than be that bad at this job, that Adams had no flexibility and had to just, you know, it was Boston or bust.
Well, it was a second-round pick, not a first. It was a player that has not yet in his career established himself as a useful player. And I'm keeping money.
Right.
What did I get at all that's worthwhile? Like, What's the benefit at all here? I kept money, but I got a first-round pick. Or I got a second-round pick, but I didn't keep money. Or I got a second-round pick, and I kept money, but I got a good player. Nope. What did I get that's anything? But I don't think I would. I would have a boss in this situation. Adams works for people. And so maybe he had no choice, but I don't think I could just keep him though, because I think that would be cutting off my nose to spite my face if mm-hmm. I did that, you know,
right?
Like
yeah.
that would get out too, and we would probably like it because he'd be like, "Damn it, I'm just not. It can't work like this. I'm just not taking this deal because there's nothing in it for me." It might not be viable for him to do that. And I don't know if I could do it either, but
you'd get hammered for that too. I mean, I think to be perfectly honest, if he had not traded Taylor Hall and somehow we know he could have got
anything, this
deal, I think we'd be mad. I'd be like, what are you doing? Like, you take, I know it's nickels on the dime, but you take what you can get. You don't have any leverage. You're not in the position of power, but you have something that you can, you know, we'll see. This kid is signed for two more seasons after this one, and, you know, he'll play on this team, I would expect, for those years. Like, he'll, you know, unless he just is terrible. So maybe he turns a corner. Maybe, you know, he's a slow developer, whatever. We're sort of, I'll stop short of saying we're marveling at Casey Mittelstadt's game lately, but he's made absolute definitive progress in his game, and maybe this kid can do something similar. I don't know. I mean, he's older than Mittelstadt already. That should be pointed out. So, you know, I'm disappointed with the return, but I think sitting on Hall to make a point, because you don't want to get, you know, have the appearance of being taken advantage of, would have been very short-sighted. So you know you do what you can, and that's what he did.
Okay, another is there a more consistently depressing day on the sports calendar? No, right? They're just what would it
I don't
be?
Think, I,
what
I
would
don't
it
think
be?
So. Yeah.
What would it be? I don't know.
No. Okay. Well, Adams is going to speak to the media here in like 10 minutes. So let's get out, and so we can get to that on time. Hopefully we can do that. Paul will join us later in the show, and we'll sort of sum everything up at 5 o'clock. That's the plan for now. Paul says the Sabres, he knows that the Sabres are done dealing. So as is written on the tablets that Moses had at his disposal, Ristolainen cannot be moved. He has a no movement ever clause. It's the rare NMEC in his contract. You rarely see it, where it's just physically impossible to do anything but just keep playing him. There's no other way the league can function. So that's closed for another however many years or months, or I don't know. It's just this day never isn't depressing. Kevin Adams coming up. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Thanks for being with us. This is WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
There's going to be a ton of interest for a lot of pieces. Sam Reinhart, to me, be careful. This could be Ryan O'Reilly all over again. I like this player a lot. Tremendous character. Can beat you in many different ways. At the age of 25, I think he's got a bright future. And you got to be very careful with these guys. There's a lot of people that would try to convince Kevin Adams, I'll take a lot of your problems away from you.
It's on Sam Reinhart. Nick Kiprios, a guest on our extended Instigators coverage today. His site, according to his Twitter bio, at Line Movement, is where you can find Nick on Twitter at Real Kipper, KYPER. Okay. Kevin Adams coming up very shortly. He'll explain what happened with Taylor Hall and the other moves the Sabres made. Montour, Lazar, Hall, series of trades, a flurry, if you will, in the last few days. No first round picks after all of it. And so how come? I mean, these are not all, even including Hall, guys at the peak of their game. But nevertheless, let's hear what Kevin Adams has to say as we go to him.
You can go ahead with your first question for Kevin.
Kevin, listening to Taylor Hall earlier, he basically said he used his no trade to help get himself to Boston. Were you limited almost to dealing with the Bruins as far as, because he has the no trade, he could kind of decide, yeah, I like that offer, or no, I don't, or that city that I want to go to. Were you limited basically to Boston as far as trying to trade him?
Yeah, that's fair to say, Paul. I think, you know, there's obviously nuances between a no trade and a no move clause and what all that means. But, you know, the reality of the situation is back in the offseason when we signed Taylor and, you know, we felt strongly that we needed to have a one-year deal to make sure that we were being disciplined and remain flexible moving forward. You know, part of the agreement was to be able to offer him a no move clause. And I understand that. So certainly the situation played itself out where neither side were happy with where the team was right now. And we talked a bit a few weeks ago just to start to get ahead of it, you know, and what I told him is I need to understand from you and kind of what you're thinking, and then we'll just stay in touch. So the message from Taylor and Darren Ferris, his agent, was to, if there was a way to put him in a position to be at a Stanley Cup contending team and have an opportunity to get in the playoffs and win a championship. And I completely understand that. So what I told them is that I would go to work and I would keep them posted on where things were. And that's what I did. And as we got to yesterday, when things heated up a little bit, I would say, I guess that's the right way to say it, obviously stayed in touch and got to a point where Taylor felt that Boston was the team that he wanted to go to. That was where he felt was the best fit. And contractually, he had earned that right to make that call. So we focused our attention there and obviously was able to get a deal done and excited about it because I feel that we were able to accomplish a couple of the things in the deal. Obviously, draft pick that, you know, helps us build towards the future in our pipeline and a player that we are excited about and feel can step right into our lineup and help us now. And he's fits our kind of mold of what we were looking for. And also, you know, just on the ice, but age. So maybe a long answer, Paul, but that's kind of how we got to where we got to with Taylor's situation.
Afternoon, Kevin. Obviously with Linus's contract, the way he's played, I'm sure that, you know, you might've gotten some calls on him, the decision to keep him and maybe risk a little bit. What about, you know, talks with, you know, Linus's agent or just the situation made you comfortable moving forward with him on an expiring contract these, you know, this next month or so?
Yeah, this for me was dates back even to the off season. We've said all along, we want Linus to be a Buffalo Sabre and we really feel good about where his game is at. And we've had great conversations, been ongoing, continue to talk right now and been very, I've spent time with Linus just one-on-one having conversations about philosophically where we're at and, you know, where we're looking to get to and what is he looking for. And that's my style, you know, to have, I think that's an important relationship to have with your players. And it's not about dollars and cents. It's more about vision and where are we headed and why. And we've had those conversations and we'll continue to work at it. But priority for us is absolutely to sign Linus, and he and his agent both know that.
Hey, Kevin, John Warrow, AP. I've got two questions. One is, how much did the salary cap crunch play in how the moves were affected, not just, you know, with you, but just around the NHL, it seems. And my other question is, what do you make of the job Don Granato's done so far?
Yeah, I think in terms of the salary cap, there was a lot going on, obviously, with the trade deadline this year and maybe that hadn't been previously. And I guess what I mean by that is uncertainty of where it's going to go and the cap being flat this past year and where it goes from here. And obviously with the protocols and the COVID restrictions in terms of whether it's the quarantines or just the COVID rules in general, made things certainly challenging for everyone. But I think that, you know, you want to do your best to gauge the market, and I think every year will be different, but do your homework, make your phone calls, listen, have as many conversations as you can to understand what's going on around the league, and then do your best with the situation you're in. And that's what we did. So I do think it played a role though, for sure, John. And in terms of Donnie, you know, what I see right now out of our team is a team that's playing with purpose. I see a bit of more structure to our team in terms of our defensively look more on our toes, pressuring. And we have a bit of a, looks like more of an understanding of the why are we doing certain things. And then on the offensive side, you know, I think I saw before maybe a team that was caught in the middle. And I don't know if I said that before in previous press conferences, where we had a lot of talented players, but we were kind of just this in between, it felt like. Where now we're a bit more on our toes, and I feel like Gardier freed up to be getting up ice. And another part of the offensive isn't just, you know, making a pass and entering the zone clean. It's, well, what do you do with the puck if you are closed off at the line? And is there an automatic out where you're going to go with the puck where your line mate knows where to get it? So I see more purpose in our game. And, you know, like I said to you before, we need to raise our competitiveness. We needed to raise our level in practice. We're practicing, although you guys know practices are tough right now with our schedule. But when we do practice, we've had better tempo. We've had better compete. You know, from the data that we get after practice, the numbers show that as well. And what I think that's translated into is a team that can skate and have better pace and compete harder. So Donnie's done a nice job, and he's a hockey coach. You know, he's a guy that shows up every day prepared. He's been around the game a long time. He's been a head coach for a number of years. Obviously you guys know that. And the guys really like playing for him. And that's so we're just going to work to get better. And that's going to be the message from here on out, to find ways to improve as an individual and as a team for the rest of the year here.
Hi, Kevin. You know, you explained it already a little bit. I get to thinking why you couldn't get a first round pick for Hall the way he's played and the way the market's limited. I guess my question is, you kept salary and you helped Boston by taking Bjork off their cap and you traded Lazar. The two questions are, what's in this for you? And the second is, why were there no conditions on the pick based on how Boston does going forward?
Well, I think, you know, I would look at it a bit different than how you're framing it then, I guess, Mike. We really like Anders Bjork as a player. We think he's going to help our team. We think he's got speed. He's got compete. We see an offensive upside chance with the role that could expand in our team. So he was a guy that we identified and liked what he brought. So for us, that was something that was important. And, you know, maybe I didn't explain it really clearly, and maybe I can do a better job with it. But, you know, as you get down to the wire in negotiations, and, you know, I certainly was talking to as many teams as possible, but the number gets limited quickly on who can make a deal like that work. And then ultimately it's in the player's control where they want to go. So when you get down to the wire, you're negotiating and doing your best for the organization where we were with one team. And I feel strongly that in the situation we were in, and I respect where Tyler was in his position, that we did the best we could possibly do in the short term and in terms of the longer term with the draft pick. So I feel that I'm excited about Bjork. He's gonna be a good player that comes in and has a chance to play a bigger role. And I think that's sometimes what it takes for players to grab an opportunity and run.
I mean, I think a lot of people were kind of surprised you traded Curtis Lazar. He seemed to fit in well. He was cheap. You just signed him to a contract. How hard was it to part with him?
Yeah. Unbelievable guy. Unbelievable. Just good team guy. Played well for us. I'm not surprised that Boston, you know, then I told Curtis this late last night, and the hours are running together here, but when I spoke to him late, I'm not surprised that Curtis was targeted by Boston. He's a good hockey player and plays his role well. It's the hard part of this business, especially when you're talking about quality people and having to make hard decisions. I think from our perspective, we feel that we had a chance with a player like Bjork to have a bigger impact on the offensive side of the game with an expanded role than maybe where Curtis's role was. And so we'll see where that goes. But no, I wish Curtis all the best. He's a tremendous person and was really good for us here.
Hi, Kevin. Taylor declined to get into specifics, but he did say how, you know, the no move clause really helped him to become a Bruin. And with a player in that situation where he has that no move clause, is that a situation where just fewer teams are calling in because you don't know if you can get a deal done because he has to waive the clause? or are offers coming in, but you have to kind of speak with Taylor and make sure he's okay with it?
Yeah, I think one thing to differentiate on that is there's very big difference between conversations and offers. I would say, you know, talk to everybody and, you know, talk to teams around the league in terms of interest. And what I was doing, like I said in the beginning, explained, is gauging where everybody was at. Some teams were, you know, we're not in a position to do that right now for either where our team's at or financial reasons. Other teams were, hey, keep me posted. You know, don't know if that works for us. Other teams were, well, maybe we would be interested. Let's see. And then you narrow it down to eventually where teams were a little bit more serious and getting to the point where you were having serious dialogue and then looking to take something to Taylor. And that's where we got to yesterday. And as I mentioned, you know, when that conversation happened, Taylor was very professional and respectful. And he said, I want to play for the Boston Bruins. And that's the right he had. So it's, I understand it. They're a good hockey team and, you know, they've been a good team with a lot of good players for years. So it's understandable why he said that.
Hey, Kevin, two things. Is it safe to assume that the coaching search will now extend into after the regular season with you guys having about a month left? And secondly, you talked about how you see more structure in the team's game with Don and how you have been impressed. And would it be fair to say that he has emerged as a strong candidate to potentially get this job, not on the interim tag?
Yeah, Matt, that's a good question. And I think from the beginning, I always felt that Donnie should be part of this conversation, and regardless of what happens exactly on the wins and losses of our team. But yeah, this is an amazing opportunity for Donnie to implement how he sees things and what he would do, and not just talking about, but actually doing it. So for sure. But you know, I do think it's important to just have conversations and think about where we go from here. And in your question, yeah, we've been busy, and obviously the trade deadline here is consumed the most time over the last couple of weeks. But yeah, we'll definitely kind of take a breath and then look towards that. But for sure, Donnie Granato is a person that I absolutely think is in the mix for this and should be. And he's a great hockey guy. He's a great person, and you know, and I think the important thing is, the players do have a lot of respect for him, and that goes a long way as well.
Hey, Kevin, just wanted to see, is there any update on Jack Eichel's status? I mean, will we see him at all? Do you know before the end of the season? And how much communication do you have with him, you know, while he's been out, and especially on days like this with the trade deadline?
Yeah, that's so communication's key with not just Jack, but players, coaches within the organization. So I've made it clear to the players, it's open door. We can talk as much as they want. I'm around the room. We have conversations daily. In terms of Jack, the update, he was again recently looked at by the doctors, and slight improvement from where he was at before. I don't want to go too much further than that, but you know, it does look like he's still going to be out for a while. So where that puts him in terms of return, we'll have to see. It'd be great to get him in, even if it was late in the season, but just not sure. So we're going to have some more conversations over the next couple of days and get everybody on the same page with our doctors. Jack and I do, you can ask him, I guess, but I feel have a good relationship. We talk, we've talked about his own situation. We've talked about our team. We've talked about previously when the coaching change was made and helping him understand why and what I felt the reasons were. And I feel good that we have that open communication, and I've encouraged Jack to ask questions, you know, and I've said this to you guys before, the players on the ice, they feel it. They know, you know, they're in the trenches. They're dealing with it every day. So it's valuable for me to ask them questions and listen. Sometimes it's just important to ask the right question and then listen to the answer before you make decisions.
Hey there, Kevin. It looks like you're up to 10 picks in this year's draft, including 5 in the first 3 rounds. Was that kind of the plan going in, or was that how the trade talks just swerved towards?
No, it was definitely, John, the plan. You know, one takeaway that I had last year from, you know, in a short time preparing for the draft was it is tough to go into draft shorthanded. It just, you know, you feel like draft picks are currency. And, you know, besides building your pipeline, which I think is been lacking, you can also use that currency in other ways. You can package picks together to potentially acquire players. You could package picks together to move up in the draft. You could, maybe we need some pick for expansion reasons to help yourself, you know. So definitely was a strategy going in. Once our team got to the point where we were not where we needed to be in the standings, it was a clear pivot from the hockey department in terms of strategy moving forward. We had 5 picks heading into this draft a few weeks ago, and I certainly feel better when I look at our draft and see that now we have, you know, that type of currency. I think will definitely help us.
Hey, Kevin, it's Andrew Peters. A quick question for you. You've been through the big 3 now, the draft, free agency, and now the trade deadline. So after speaking with GMs and players at free agency last year, have you been able to get a better gauge on the direction you want to head going into next season?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you said that, Pete. I hadn't thought of that. You know, the big 3, as you call it, it's you learn a lot. There's so many conversations and so much work that's done behind the scenes to get to the point where decisions are actually made. And then there's so much that goes on that actually, and then things don't happen. But that's part of the process too. So that's certainly helped. And yeah, I think part of what I see, Andrew, is we need to have a better team identity. You know, we need to have more speed. We need to have more compete in our lineup. We need to have that character. That's character, on ice character and off ice character. So, you know, we said over the last few weeks, it's just not acceptable where we're at, and we're going to have, nobody's going to feel sorry for us. Nobody's going to just flick the switch and it just happens. We're going to have to earn our way to where we need to be. And that's going to be through building the team the right way. So I do feel comfortable that we have a plan, and we're going to work extremely hard to get there. And obviously, you know, loading up on draft picks, that'll help us, you know, identify that identity type players that we're looking for as we move forward and, you know, begin to build the pipeline back up in the organization.
Kevin, where are you at in the process of hiring an assistant general manager? Is that something that got delayed because of the deadline and all that is involved in this process?
Yeah, I have had conversations. I'd say I am very, very serious conversations over the last week with one potential candidate, and certainly we'll see where that one goes. But yeah, I was trying to do a lot of things in terms of juggling that. But no, it's been a priority since I probably spoke to you guys the last time, and do have a number of people that I have talked to already. And, you know, depending on what happens here in the coming days, we'll continue that. But no, it's a priority. It's a huge hire in terms of, you know, how we're putting together the hockey department and the structure. And like I said before, we need to build the front office back up. We need to hire more scouts. We need to make sure that we're putting the pieces in place from, you know, our front office right through the scouting department, player development department, and just make sure that that as we move forward, we're having the right people in the right positions. But I do, that is a priority for sure, Lance. Huge priority.
There we are. Sorry, Kevin, we need to revisit the previous question a little about Jack here. This is the captain, the face of your franchise. We haven't seen or heard from him in 35 days. Your answer is the first indication we've had at all that he might not be coming back this year. We all saw the neck situation in Long Island, whether that's what we're talking about or not. No one has given any indication. How serious a situation is this? And what is the reason for all the clandestine information on your captain when we get information all the time about injured players as a matter of routine?
Yeah, I think it's important that when we have the proper information to share in one way or the other, how we're moving forward, that will be completely transparent. You know, I think part of this for Jack has been to make sure that the reason he's not playing is because he's not healthy enough to play, and we need to help him, you know, do everything we can for as an organization and to get him back there. But, you know, I think as we move forward here in the coming days, there'll be more clarity, Mike. As I said, had us a little bit more information last week, and then here in the next couple of days, going to have some more conversations with the doctors, and then for sure, kind of what are the next steps and why, and be transparent with that information with you guys.
Kevin, what were the biggest reasons behind bringing in players like Bjork and Kajula at this point, and who else maybe do you want to see in the system get a look at the NHL level before the season ends?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it is a little complicated, Brian, with the emergency recalls, how many recalls you get from a CBA perspective of regular recalls. So, you know, it'd be great to say, hey, every player that's showing promise, we'd love to give them a taste of an NHL game over the next, you know, few weeks, but the rules are, you know, realistically that's not possible. I will say there's been some really, really, for me, bright spots in Rochester. I think Samuelson's taken a huge step from where I saw him at training camp to the other day when I was in Rochester watching them play. He's really stepped, showing signs of a rapid development. You know, Casey Fitzgerald's played very well down there. You're seeing positive signs out of Laxon, and that's, you know, that's on the back end. Obviously, UPL is a player that is, for us, is a top prospect that's continuing to learn and grow and getting huge minutes and opportunities. And now they're playing a little bit more of a condensed schedule. You're seeing that Wednesday, Friday, Saturday kind of games where they've had the last few weeks. And then up front, players like Murray and, you know, obviously Ruotsalainen, and you've seen already, but those are players that have kind of taken off. You know, Byro was playing very well. These are guys that have taken off that are young guys. So we'll see where that goes over the coming weeks, but it'd be great to reward some of the players, you know, if the rules and how all that works allow. And in terms of, you know, the why on, you know, even from, you know, we haven't talked about Drake Kajula and, you know, the waiver claim there, it's, you know, it's another identity type player, like speed, intensity, brings an element of just, you know, that relentless kind of player that I feel we need more in our lineup. So that's why. And here we come in, he's quarantining right now. So it's again, it's the tough part of this. He's, you know, with his commercial flight back from Arizona, it's a per league rule. It's I think 7 days. And then he comes out whenever that would be on the weekend, I think. So you have to deal with the rules, but, you know, then he'll be back in. So you know, that is the reason, but no, a lot of promise and of some of those younger players that you want to make sure we're continuing to help grow. And you certainly don't want to put players in a position they're not ready for, but you want to see if possible where they are in their game and challenge them to take the next step.
All right, we're all set. Thank you so much, Kevin, for your time today.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day, everyone.
All right, timed out like he works here, pretty much. Yeah, so 20
right
minutes.
Right to the break.
Well done. All right, we learned a few things. There were a couple questions left unanswered. We'll talk about some of Kevin Adams' comments and also invite your calls to talk about the moves that the Sabres made or didn't make, as the case may be. 803-0550 is the number. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, back after sports on WGR.